When God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he told that shepherd that it was now time to switch occupations somewhat, just a different type of sheep. Rather than leading literal sheep, he would now be leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Can you imagine the burden that was placed upon that man? First, he had to go back and speak to the nation of Israel, did he not? And he knew that they would ask a question, and he poses it. When they ask me, what's the name of the God that sent me, what shall I say unto them? You see, the Israelites are going to want to know, who is it that sent you, Moses? And we all know God's answer, don't we? The Bible says this, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shall ye say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am. Folks, that is a verb. It is a verb of being. It is a present tense verb. And it indicates two things about God. Number one, He is self-existent. I am. I have always existed. I am not created. No one formed or fashioned me. I have just always been. It also speaks of the eternal nature of this God. I had no beginning and I have no end. I will always be. I was before, I am now, I will be hereafter. I am hath sent me unto you. In the New Testament, Jesus picks up on this I am statement, and what is interesting is he makes application of it to himself. Oftentimes, he also adds additional words to that phrase I am. Take for instance, he says, I am the bread of life. John 6:35. I am the door of the sheep. John 10:7. I am the good shepherd. John 10:11. This morning we want to study another one of those I am statements of Jesus. And it's very simply this: I am the light of the world. Let's begin by noticing the statement. Jesus didn't make that statement once about himself. Jesus makes the statement twice about himself. The first time he says it is in John 8, verse 12. He says this, Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The second time he says it is in John 9, verse 5, and there he says this, As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Two different times he makes the statement. Let's go back just a minute and let's look at the context of each one of those statements. First, the context of John 8, verse 12. Jesus has gathered in the treasury area of the temple, John 8, Verse 20. While there, he was speaking to the Pharisees, John 8, verse 13. And he makes a statement about himself. He makes a statement to them about his nature. He makes a statement to them about who I am right now. I am the light of the world. Interestingly enough, those Pharisees denied the truthfulness of Jesus' statement, John 8, verse 13. Here's what they said. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou hast borne record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Think about that. Jesus tells these individuals, I am the light of the world. And the very next statement they say is, You're talking about yourself, and what you're saying is false as it can be. They denied that Jesus is the light of the world. The second statement happens in John 9, verse 5. Jesus comes in contact with a blind man. His disciples ask him a question. Why is this man blind? Is it because he has sinned, or is it because his parents have sinned? You see, that used to be the thinking in days gone by. That if something were wrong with you, if you had a physical ailment, it was because either you or your family has in some way sinned against God, and this is your punishment for your sin. Jesus says neither. He says, no, this man is not blind because of himself or his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. Go home today and think about that statement just a little bit. This man was born blind. Why? So that God could work the works of God in his life on this occasion. Jesus immediately sends this individual down to the pool of Siloam. He washes his eyes in that pool, and he then opens his eyes, and no longer is he blind, but he can see. Remember, Jesus in the course of this says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This man now can see, folks. Light is absolutely essential to sight. Jesus proved by this work that he is who he claims to be. I am the light of the world, and proves it by means of a blind man. Point number two, there are numerous other statements in Scripture that indicate Jesus is light. Isaiah 9:2 refers to him as the great light. Matthew picks up on that and applies it to Jesus in Matthew 4:14-16 and says that he is the great light that shines in darkness. In Luke 1:78-79, Jesus is referred to as the day spring on high to give light unto the world. We turn to Luke 2:32, and he is a light to lighten the Gentiles. And then in John 1:4-5, he was the light that was the life of men. So we could take every one of those passages and talk about them in detail and what they mean with regard to Jesus and how he fulfilled them. Our point is this: the prophets, other writers of the Old and New Testament, and Jesus himself declare, I am the light of the world. But that leads to point number three. And this to me is one of the important parts of the lesson. What does light do? I've got 9 points. Are you ready? Number one, light dispels darkness, doesn't it? Folks, when light is introduced into a dark room, immediately darkness flees, does it not? Turn with me to Genesis 1 for just a minute. Let's look at something. Genesis 1:3 says this, and God said, let there be light. Now notice what happened. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Now watch this. And God divided the light from the darkness. And the light he called day, and the darkness he called night, and evening and morning were the first day. Notice what God had to do. He had to divide the light from the darkness. Why? Because the minute he spoke light into the world, darkness fled. You see, light dispels darkness. So he separates the two and allows light and darkness to still dwell upon the face of the earth. What is the results of light being revealed? Well, number one, no more aimless drifting. Wouldn't you hate to live in a world that is just totally dark? How would you get around? You wouldn't even know whether it's Sunday or not, would you? And if you did, you wouldn't even know how to get to the church building on time. Some still don't know how to do that, even in daytime. But how about this next one? Obstacles are no longer a problem, folks. If a room is totally dark, you don't know where anything is, but now there's light. And now all the obstacles are readily seen. And lastly, when there is light, there is no more evil and wickedness to cloud the mind of the individual. You see, light dispels darkness. Point number two, light lightens the path, doesn't it? We're all familiar with Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We can now move very safely because we have light, don't we? Here's what's interesting. Even the smallest amounts of light enable us to navigate, don't they? A match, a candle, even a glow stick. When I worked with a children's home, we'd take those kids out, and oftentimes we do what is called spelunking, cave exploring. There wasn't one kid and one adult who entered into that cave without three different forms of light. We had a headlight on. We had a flashlight with brand new AA batteries in there. And every kid had at least two or three glow sticks. We get into those caves, deep down into them a mile or so. We just turn out all our lights. Get one of those kids to click on a glow stick. Now, folks, let me tell you something. It's not much light. If I had one here and broke it open, you'd think that, well, that's not much light. Take one into a cave where there is no light and break that stick and let the glow of that light shine. Guess what? I can get anywhere I want to go with the simple light of a glow stick in a cave. You see, just a little light, just a little light enables us to have our path lit so that we can walk safely. Point number three, light gives life. I was doing a little studying and one man had a list of about eight things that light does in order to make sure that life is sustained on this planet. One of them is this: it warms the temperature of the earth. Take away our sun, take away our moon, and guess what we have? A frozen earth. That's exactly what we would have. You see, it is the light of the sun that warms the earth and enables it to have the vegetation that it has. Enables us as humans to be able to live on this planet. Number two, it evaporates water. You see, the sun shines upon the water, heats that water. The water vapor goes off into clouds and then rains back down upon the earth in form of pure water, doesn't it? You see, it's a life sustainer. And number three, it sterilizes. You know, we're worried about the coronavirus, and it is bad, but guess what? There are microbes in our air. And fortunately, God's taken care of those for us. The UV rays go into our air and kill many of those microbes which would otherwise cause us to have all kinds of sicknesses and ailments. You see, light provides life for man. The Bible says that Jesus shines in our inner man, giving us light. Number four, light enables growth. Listen to this statement by Abigail Smedstat. Light directly influences plant growth and flowering by inducing photosynthesis and feeding plants energy. We all know that plants need light, don't we? Take a plant, put it in a dark room for a week, and that plant will die, won't it? No light. The minute you put it back out into the light, it begins to grow and blossom and flower again. Folks, the light that we get from Jesus allows us to grow, doesn't it? How do we grow? We grow in His image. We grow in our knowledge. We grow in our influence. We grow in all of our good works, and we grow in the fruit that we produce. God's light shining in our lives enables us to grow and be what we're supposed to be as Christians. Now, here's an interesting point. Plants always grow toward the light. Is that true? If you have a plant and you put that plant outside, that plant will almost all the time grow directly straight up because that's where the sunshine is most of the time. If you take that plant, however, and put it over in the shade, All of a sudden, that plant begins to grow how? Toward the light. And why do I bring this up here? This is a good spiritual indicator for us. You see, our growth should be toward spiritual things, not away from them. I watch Christians sometime. They've been Christians 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And then all of a sudden their lives begin to drift away from spiritual things. Folks, if that's what's happening to you, you're not growing. Plants always do what? They grow toward the light. If you and I are growing in our Christian lives, we are growing toward spiritual things. We are not removing ourselves from them. The question that we need to ask ourselves is this: am I growing toward the light? That's the question. Number five, light heals, doesn't it? We've all know of that jaundice that a baby can get, that yellowing of the skin because they do not have too much bilirubin in their blood. Doctor will send that child home and get what they tell them. You put that baby right by that window, you open that window and you let that light shine on that baby. Well, most of the time they won't even release the baby anymore until they cleared up the jaundice. And how do they do it? By putting him under UV light, don't they? Because light heals. You see, light is a therapy, isn't it? Men are spiritually sick in our world. And the very thing that is needed in order to heal their sickness is the light that proceeds from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Zacchaeus, we'll talk about him more next week. Was he a sick man? Yes. But Jesus enters into the home of Zacchaeus, and guess what? There is healing in that house. Even Jesus announces it today. Salvation has come to this house. And this man is now a son of Abraham. What a beautiful statement. You see, healing had come to a publican's home. Number six, light brings hope. When people are on beds of affliction, the one thing they desire is hope, isn't it? Nights are difficult. People don't feel good. They ache. They hurt. They're not able to sleep. They roll over in their bed. Tears stream from their face. They roll over and it's still dark. And finally, they look out the window and the first rays of morning light appear and there is hope in their body. They're strengthened. Finally, I made it to the day. If you're lost in a cave, talking about that spelunking, folks, if there's anything that would make you just as happy as you could be, it's just one little ray of sunshine. Because you know there's got to be a hole there. There's got to be a way out. If the sun can get through, there's got to be a way that I can leave this cave and exit it. You see, one ray of light can provide hope. Does Jesus provide us with hope? Absolutely. This is the true life, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You see, Jesus lightens our life. One of these days, there will be resurrection. Oh yes, we've put a lot of people in the ground. Most of you have buried many of your family members, close family members, but one of these days, there's resurrection. There is hope of eternal life. When we do come back, guess what? We'll never die again. We're never going to have to face that enemy ever again. We will live forever and ever and ever, and we'll possess heavenly bodies. Won't that be wonderful? No longer aching, no longer sick, no longer hurting. But a beautiful heavenly body that can live there forever and ever and ever. And there is also hope of reunion, isn't there? Are there a few people in your life that you just can't wait to see? Just a few, huh? Mom and dad, grandmother or grandfather, son or daughter, aunt or uncle, whomever, maybe just a very close friend in Jesus Christ. Guess what? There's hope. I get to see that individual in the hereafter. Number 7, light indicates purity. Here's something that was interesting to me. All light is pure. All light is pure. Notice this. Light cannot be adulterated. There's no way that you can adulterate life. Oh yes, light can be dimmed. Light can be increased in intensity. But guess what? All light is pure. Jesus said, I am what? The light of the world. In Him there is no adultery, is there? The Bible says God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You see, Jesus, when He says, I am the light of the world, He is also indicating His holiness and His purity that He sustains. Number 8, light dispels fear. Two examples. Ever had a child who's scared of the dark? What do? Put a little night light in the corner, don't we? It provides just enough light that that child can see around that room and know that there's no boogeyman in there. Just enough. You're in a dark, you're in a lighted place, and all of a sudden the lights go out. What happens? All the women and all the weak men scream. Don't they? They scream out loud, and they just keep screaming until when? Until the lights come back on, and then there's no fear anymore, you see? I put that second one in there because I'd probably scream. Folks, our light, Jesus, dispels fear, doesn't it? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You see, we have a light that dispels our fear. We're not fearful about tomorrow. We're not fearful about what's going to happen in our world. Why? Because we have someone who's with us who lights our path at all times, don't we? Number 9, light reveals flaws. Man has created drop lights. They've created flashlights. Why do they do that? Because there's sometimes it's difficult to see in certain places, isn't it? A mechanic who's trying to work on our car, what does he need? He needs a good drop light or a flashlight to see what's going on down in there. It reveals tangles, rips. Sometimes we put our finger under a bright light. Why? To try to find a little bitty splinter, don't we? A good light will reveal leaks and holes and tears. You see, light reveals flaws. And when Jesus shines in our life, folks, guess what He's going to reveal? He's going to reveal our flaws. But all things that are reproved are manifest by what? By the light. When you and I let Jesus shine in our lives, the one thing we're going to see are all the sins, all the iniquities, all the evil, all the bad stuff. But that's good, isn't it? Because you see, until we see those things, none of those things can be fixed. I want you to go home, and I hope you've written some of these things down. Maybe you can remember them. If not, and I want you to think about what Jesus has said. I am the light of the world. Look at all that I do for this world in which we live. Now the question is really this. How do we lighten our lives? That's the question, isn't it? It's fine that Jesus is a light, but you and I need somehow to lighten our lives, don't we? Number 1, we must have the presence of God in our lives. A person cannot live in sin, a person cannot live in iniquity, cannot live in darkness, and have light in his life. It's an impossibility. Notice Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light where? In the Lord. Walk as children of light. How do you become light? There's only one way, and it's to be where? In the Lord. But now, are you light in the Lord? Every person ought to be asking, how do I get into Christ? Because that's where I become light. Until you are in Christ, you are out in the darkness. There's only two passages that tell us how to get into Christ. Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:27. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, in order to get into Christ, we must be baptized into Him. Oh, there's that doctrine that exists today that says all you have to do in order to be saved is to have faith. Folks, faith does not allow you to get into Christ. It is a faith that moves me to be baptized into Christ that allows me to have Christ in my life and shining in it. Number two, I live every day of my life trying to reflect Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world, is what He said. And you and I are trying to seek to do exactly like Christ does in every situation. I want my thoughts to be like Him. I want my words to be like Him. I want my behaviors to be like Him. I want my attitudes to be like Him. I want to do everything like Jesus. Why? Because I want to reflect Christ in my life. And if we do, listen to what Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. Man. What's amazing to me is He didn't manipulate the words in any way whatsoever, did He? He said, I am the light of the world. And now He tells His disciples, you too can what? You too can be the light of the world. Can you imagine that? But it doesn't come accidentally. We must live like Jesus to do that. Number three, in order for my life to be lightened, I must be filled with the knowledge of His will. You see, the Word of God contains the light of God's wisdom. If there's anyone who is truth, it is God, is it not? And all that He speaks unto us is light. We can throw off the fabrications of man. We can throw off any error and any deceit that is out there if you and I will fill ourselves with the light of God's Word. Listen to the psalmist. Oh, send out Thy light and Thy what? Thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto Thy holy hill and unto Thy tabernacles. You see, the psalmist knew that the way for me to have light is through the truth of God's Word. Number four, how do I lighten my life? By the rejection of sin. Folks, sin is the practice of darkness. We as Christians ought to remember that more than anybody. We ought to know that, hadn't we? Anytime you and I involve ourselves in sin, we are decreasing the shine and the brilliance of our light. Notice, the more darkness we remove, the brighter we shine. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Number five, we shine by practicing good works. What's the world involved in? Sin, iniquity. And in contrast to that, what are we involved in? Good works, aren't we? And you see, our good works allow our lights to shine unto others. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. How do I shine? By going out into the world and doing good for other people. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Folks, He provides the benefits of light to all that are in the world, and those that come to Him can become lights also. But here's the fact. The world hates the light. Nor does the world come to the light. Jesus said in John chapter 3 verse 20. In the very next verse though, He says this. Only he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Question. Are you searching for truth? And when you find that truth, are you willing to abide by it? You see, it's the only way to have truth in our lives. We can be light in the Lord. I can be almost exactly what Jesus is. I can be light in darkness. I can be a candle to light the way. I can be a ray of life that provides hope to others in this world. Let's stop and ask ourselves two questions. Number one, right now, are you light or darkness? If you're not in Christ, you're still in darkness. We encourage you to be baptized into Him this morning. Put off the ways of darkness. Arise as a child of God, a child of light. Second question. This is for all that are Christians. Are you growing toward the light? You see, if you're growing at all, you're growing toward the light. Does your life manifest that? Maybe you need to repent, if not, and ask God to forgive you.